Welcome to Positive Change with Dorina. Dorina provides her experience and opinions about various topics as interesting information for you to enjoy. She has a PhD in physiology, a degree in behavioral health counseling, a daily practice of yoga and meditation, and over 20 years' experience using alternative healing methods to help people get unstuck. She is not a medical doctor nor a therapist. If you have a medical condition or health issue, please consult your personal health care provider. Remember to be sensible and take care of yourself.
Welcome to Body and Weight Wednesday. I am thrilled to be able to interview Jerzy Gregorek, the co-creator of the Happy Body Program. Now, Jerzy immigrated from Poland to the United States as a political refugee with his wife, Anilia, in 1986. He subsequently won 4 World Weightlifting Championships and established 1 world record. Now, his wife is no sloth either. Anilia and the co-creator of Happy Body Program has won 5 World Weightlifting Championships and set 6 world records. Now, together they have mentored people for more than 30 years. And in 2000, Jerzy and Anilia founded the UCLA's weightlifting team. But the body isn't the only thing that Jerzy does. He also has a master's in fine arts in writing. And his poems and translations have appeared in numerous publications, including the American Poetry Review. His poem, Family Tree, was the winner of Amelia Magazine's James William Duke Long Poem Award in 1998. Just last year, in 2017, Jerzy flew back to Warsaw to receive the Medal of Blessed Jerzy Popolusko, who was another political activist. And this was in honor of Jerzy's commitment to truth, love, and forgiveness. Welcome, Jerzy, to Positive Change with Dorina.
Hi, Dorina. Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yes, yes. Let's dive right in. What was your motivation for creating the Happy Body?
Well, there were multiple things that happened. But the most important was that happened about 30 years ago when I worked as a personal trainer in Burbank. And I started training people and responding to the weaknesses that people had. And these weaknesses were, you know, different weaknesses for different people. Some people were simply weak, others not flexible, stiff, others didn't have energy, and on and on, pains and some other problems. So I thought for a long time about this weaknesses, why they come to our life. And I couldn't just really figure this out until I was around 35, 40, when I became weaker. So it was strange for me that actually you could do everything which you can and actually get weaker. So that was strange.
Yeah.
so how that could happen, right? It's, in 2002, I went to Melbourne to compete in the World Championship there. Master division, and then they were all athletes between 35 and 100. And then I realized that there is such a thing as aging. That it's funny that actually it happens to us, and then it happens around when we are around 35. And when I analyze all the records, I realized that we get weaker about 2% every year, and it happens to us, and it's not the result that our results that we don't do it, that something does to us, right?
Uh-huh.
So life aging us, and in a way, failure is outside. It's not inside, really, when it comes to aging. So that was a quite realization on my part. So I realized that there is such a thing as aging.
Do you believe that's true? Because I kind of think it's not really aging. It's just like bad maintenance.
Well, listen to that. So at 35, all athletes get actually worse, and then no matter what they do. But my people actually can get better, and actually can get better than 2% or 4% and 5%. And even, you know, they can stop aging and you know, improve themselves. So why could it happen? So there is a big gap between the world champions and regular people. So, for example, I am 63 today, and another man who is 63 can be aged and can be very weak, inflexible, and so on. Mm-hmm. And aging happens to him, but he doesn't have any tools. So if he actually picks up the happy body and start training, he can actually get a lot better over time. So not only a little better, but about 200% better.
Oh, wow.
It means that there is a big gap between those who don't train and those who train. So it's very inspirational and motivational for people that to know that actually they can get better, they can stop aging, and so aging, you know, not the whole aging, but they can stop aging flexibility, stop aging the strength, stop aging, you know, the coordination, mobility, all of it can be stopped and actually can be improved. So it's very motivational. But for world champions like we are, there is no, you know, getting better. It's getting worse. But we are the top of the world in the creating. So it's a different story, right? So I can't be happy that I am 63 and I am one of the best in the world and I have a lot of power, actually a lot of more power than a 20-year-old today is without training, that actually aging will happen to that one.
Okay.
I
was really impressed with the program because you cover all the different things that we would call aging, right? That lack of flexibility, the lack of strength, all the stuff that happens that we think, you know, are the issues. And you actually, like a science, you go in and you say, okay, we've measured this and we know exactly how to improve that. So it's like amazing. And I guess that's your years of experience working with a lot of different people.
Well, you know, to create something antidote for something for a failure, let's say there's a failure that we become weaker or we become stiffer, right?
Yeah.
Or slower, and in order to really to write a program or create something, you would know what the failure is. And once I understood the aging, I was able to create or engineer the whole system and plan so people could actually stop it or even get better while, you know, being on the program.
Yeah. Now, I'm thinking about my mom. She's like 77, low bone density, borderline obese. You know, is there anyone who's not fit enough to do the program?
Well, who wouldn't be? Probably people that don't want to get better. Everybody
that might be my
everybody
mom too,
can so. Get better. Yeah, everybody can get better, even your mom. So think about that. All the records of the happy body were created because of the 8-year-old competing. So if you are not 8-year-old, still you can practice and train and become as good as the 8-year-old, you know, champion. So, and if you are in 40s and 50s, well, you can easily get there. But if you are 77, like your mom, probably in a year or two, your mom could get 100 or 200% better than she is today.
Oh, but is it safe for her to do the program? I mean, is it even safe to start? Is it too strenuous?
No, it is not, because the happy body involves weights and the weight you can control by yourself. You can take in your hands 1 pound weight, or you can take 2 or 10, right? So you have very easily way to control. Also, you can control a range of motion, and that range of motion is you can sit toward the chair, or you can sit an inch lower and lower. So micro progression is included in the Abhivada. It means you can restore your health as well. You can get stronger and more flexible in spite of your age. It really doesn't matter what.
Okay, so it's basically, it's gradated. So she can start with, and you say micro progression. I like that. Just a little bit at her level and just slowly go up.
Right. I you know, I had a lot of clients, women, that they were, you know, 84, 85, and studied the program and got a lot of stronger and better and you know, restored their life. So it's normal.
Wow. Who else is the program for? I mean, who's your target, kind of?
Well, we don't have a target. You know, the program is for everybody, but people don't like it. You know, they always ask about the target. So I always ask people, so, you know, find out the program who is that is not for somebody. Find people that the program wouldn't fit. And I think that doesn't fit only for people that maybe like they are 1 year old, or they are, or they are, you know, not moving at all, so they cannot move.
They're in a coma. But, so someone in a coma, it's not the right program for.
Yeah, exactly. But we have people on the program between 5 and 90, and so yeah, almost anybody, right?
Okay, that covers pretty much everybody. Now I'm kind of like wondering. You know, I imagine there's people starting your program that might have old injuries like me. You know, I injured my knees when I was 15 by bike riding, you know, too hard on them. And they feel like they've been weak my whole life, and I tend to favor them. So I looked at your program. I said, oh my God, the pinnacle of fitness in your program is in some sort of overhead squat press thing. Do you think it's possible for me to be able to actually do the program and progress when we've got like old injuries?
So let's say you can squat toward a chair that is 20 inches off the ground, and then your knee is okay, a little bit sore, but not much. And you start doing the program, and after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you don't feel any tension at all. So no pains, no sorenesses, and so on. So you can lower down the chair to 19 inches. And you find out that you're getting a little bit sore, maybe too much, so you lower half an inch, and then after 3 weeks, you don't have tension, and so on. You go another half an inch down, and meantime, your dumbbells are not 1 pound, but they are 2 pounds, and 3 pounds, and 5 pounds, so you're getting stronger, and you are getting deeper.
Ah.
So you have this micro progression included, right?
Right, yeah.
So you control yourself, and it's safe for you because you have the ability to control the weight, and you have the ability to control the depth. And so if you have it, and the one thing that you are missing on yourself to actually be patient and to recreate for yourself better living, and it means, you know, restore yourself, become stronger and more flexible, and be patient that it's going to happen in a year or two. So you have the commitment, life commitment to yourself, to changing yourself over time. So you don't have impatience usually, where impatient people are caught on fixing something fast and they don't give the body enough time to adapt to certain levels or certain strengths.
Okay. It seems like, in contrast to kind of some of what the personal trainers do, they seem like they're a little bit more impatient. Is that accurate, you think? I mean, can trainers be a problem, really?
Well, you know, good trainers shouldn't have, they should be patient, but the training, personal training, the problem could be that they depend people. So you should have something that you are completely independent, that you control, and you actually getting better because of yourself. So about 25 years ago, we had this problem with our clients, and we decided to remove everybody from the gym and start more mentoring people instead of training them.
Oh.
Because we train people every day, and they still wouldn't get better, or they would do certain things that we told them not to do. So accountability is important, but also the pride that it is you who does the change. You are the origin of it. It's beautiful, because once you really getting control over what you do, and actually you are getting better because of it, you become happy, you become proud of yourself. It's a very important element of becoming better over time.
Yeah, I guess we should let my listeners know exactly what is the Happy Body Plan.
Well, the plan includes nutrition, includes the food and exercise, and also relaxation and meditation. So it creates all the possibility for people to become flexible, to become stronger, to become quicker, to correct the posture. And these are the physical elements, but also one element is ideal body weight. And this ideal body weight is important, because once we become too thin, we are not healthy. And once we become too big, we are not healthy either. So the food is important here to control our body weight. But also there is another element, that stress element, that it happens to us that we overthink, that we think about this ourselves negatively, and or we worry about many things. So it's important that we forget about these things. So the program is created that when you do exercise program, it is mindful and involves singularity of the action. So the brain does one thing at a time. And with any repetition, you get the inhale. When you inhale, you just do that. And when you flex the muscle, you do that. And then you lift, and then you stretch, and then you return, and then you exhale. So all this six things repeat each other all the time within the exercises, and then it creates such a thing as meditation for 30 to 40 minutes, because your focus is 100%, so you forget about the world outside, and after 30 to 40 minutes you can be spaced out a little bit and come out of the gym and you don't know what happened to you, but what really happened is that you forgot about worrying about certain things in your life, and then your stress lowered down, and you don't have so much inflammation in the body, and you feel good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been doing it about 3 weeks now, and I resisted it. I read it and said, I can't weightlift. And then I gave it a try, and I'm like, okay, this is not, I thought weightlifting was like, oh, I gotta get this up. It's like, no, I start with a few pounds and it's really easy. And just that inhale, take a moment, then flex, and then then I move the weights, and then I come back. And it's very meditative. I was surprised.
Yeah. exactly. So it's beautiful. And then also, the Happy Body is created with flexibility as a first goal. So when you actually do, the Happy Body tells you to do with pleasure, then you find the pleasure within the movement. And if you find the pleasure and the joy within the movement, so you don't challenge yourself too much, then you can return it forever, because the pleasure is what we like, right? And
yeah,
then we can repeat forever. But if you challenge yourself too hard, and you progress yourself too hard, then you drain yourself mentally, and your nervous system is compromised, and then you start disliking it, and then you stop and you do something else, and then it happens again. So it is important that whatever we do in life, that we do really with pleasure. We find the pleasure. So when people are bored on the program, I told them, slow even more down so you connect to the pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you do it, once you find the liking with the movement, then you want to do it over and over like children, over and over again, right? So it's the same, like kind of like reading a poem, that you can read the same poem and you can read it 1,000 times and you are never bored, because every time you read it as new, you're getting something else during that process.
Very nice, yeah. And it's like magic, you get slowly stronger and stronger. But you're working at that one little place where it's easy, and then you go up a little bit more. So it's kind of very nice.
Yeah, this, you know, a little bit, you become better, and then there is the better is a little bit challenging, but not too much. And then you take 3 pounds dumbbells instead of 2, and you feel it's heavier. And it's a little bit challenging, but not too much. So you are proud of it, that you are getting stronger. And when you do it for a week or 2 or 3, suddenly you have these 3 pounds in your hands, and then they are just too light. You don't feel actually doing anything. So then you take 4 pounds, and that's how it's supposed to happen, that gradually you improve those weights, but also you feel that you're ready for it, and it's not too fast. So the body adapts to the all the levels, and then it's ready for the next step.
Yeah. So once I get going with it, right, I'm like doing it, I'm loving it, but it's the hard part is like starting every day. You know, how do you inspire and motivate yourself to make it happen?
Well, you know, I watched people in the last 10 years, because the book came out 10 years ago, and nobody knows really what happens, really how we motivate ourselves, and for everybody it's a different thing. So the I noticed only one thing, that different words work for different people in different time zones. So the story, the poem works when we talk to people and tell them stories, and sometimes the story goes into the right person and does magic. So about a month ago, I talked to my client that is on the program for 4 years and does it every day and so on. Like you said, wake up at 6 a.m. and does the program. So I asked her, so what happens? How? What really drives you? You know, what happens that you actually do that? And you know, she told me, well, you told me this 4 words, and then they stuck with me, and they motivate me forever, right? So I said, what are the words? And then she said, 2 years will pass. And so I said, okay, I told you this 4 words. And she said, yes. And then what happened? She said, well, you know, somehow, you know, I imagined the 2 years. I imagined my life in 2 years. And I didn't want my life to be the same as today. And I also knew that these 2 years will pass.
Mm-hmm.
So this 4 words stuck with her and motivated her, inspired her, and created the imagination for her of life in 2 years or 5 years, and then motivated her to do anything, actually, not to be in the same place, but actually to be better. And she got a lot of better. So we have people that, you know, they got better and 10 years passed and they are a lot better. I have this 64-year-old man that came, and then he, after 11 years, he stood in my room and he said, you know, I came here, I was 64, and now I am 75. And after 11 years, I am a lot better. I am a lot stronger, more flexible, than when I was 64. And actually, I am more powerful than ever. When I was in 20s, I was not so strong. And then he also have, you know, two hip replaced, and that's the whole movement, power tower, all the way down and up. And so he is strong, he is flexible, and he does anything what he wants in his life, right?
So
he's 75, and then he's, the life is open for him. And who knows what will happen now, how many years will have to pass, that, so this 2% will accumulate to make him actually worse, right? It could be, he could be 100 years old then, or even more.
Yeah, so he's been doing it, or anybody. I'm just like, you have this youthfulness scale that's in the book, you know, where you measure all these things, and 5.0, I think, right, is the top, and I think I'm at 2.7 or something. So did he get to 5.0?
Right, yes.
He did.
Yes.
So people just, you know, and what about this woman, 4 years? Is she at 5.0 already, or did she, you know, is it going to take a little while longer? Or?
That, so they can be in a one, you know, first, the ideal body weight is very fast.
That's so easy, yeah.
When people are overweight or underweight, they can get very quickly, you know, to come to the perfection. So it can happen within about 6 months or 7 months, that, you know, all overweight people the same as anybody else, right? So
okay,
they have a perfect place. But then there is muscle also that takes more difficult, because grow muscle is a 5 times slower process. So it can happen that we need 2 years, you know, for building all the muscle that we need.
Yeah, I'm like, now, April 2019, that's when I'll have my muscles. You've got a great formula for
all right. Yeah, yeah. But you know, April 2019, it will happen, right?
I don't know. We'll find out. I can't believe it.
Well, if you are not there, you're not there. But if you are, why, you know, not to do everything actually to get better and to get your muscle back, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, the time will pass. And then why not to do something what is good for us over time? So the flexibility is something that it can be quick or can be slow. It just depends on the person. But most people will restore flexibility within 1-2 years. So, you know, even
okay,
I, when I was 13, it took me about a year to have the perfect flexibility. So a year or two, and people become very flexible, unless they have some limitations, like joints limitations, arthritis, and so they stay and work with this, within this limitation, and get stronger within the limitation. Because why not? It is, if you are limited, doesn't mean that you cannot get better within the limitations, right? So that's the other aspect of it, that if you cannot be 100%, so then it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do 70% to,
right,
to get better.
Yeah. Wow. This is very inspiring. You know, it's like, okay, because I'm like, really? So when I look at the, when I read the stuff about the percent body weight, and I think you have a testimony, I'm like, there's 13% for women, like, no way. These are way too low. But then when I look at you and Anelia, you guys don't look that thin or anything, and you don't look like you're just bodybuilders either. You look kind of normal.
Right, we are normal. So, but you know, when we compete, we are not really quite normal, because I am about 2-3% body fat, and not 10%. And 10% is, but 10%, we found that the athletes usually, when they are the most fat, they are about 10%. So we ask people to be about 10% when they are really the best, right?
Uh-huh.
So there is gradation, of course, in the happy body. You don't have to be 10%, but you can be 13 or 15 or 16%. Also, if your perfect weight is 120 and you are 190, so, you know, if it's overwhelming for you to be 120, then you write yourself that, oh, I will get to 150. I am comfortable with 150, and that's okay. So get to 150, and then you will decide at that time, maybe you will want to be 140, or you live that way of life. So more important is that you get the happy body, and you establish certain goals for yourself, and you pursue to achieve them, to have the results that you desire. And it is not important that you are becoming 13% body fat. Maybe you are comfortable with 20% body fat, right?
That's my first goal, right? I go for 20, and then I'll be like you say, I'll just see what that's like. And if I want 13, right. And so, see what that's like.
Yes, it's important that you practice. You know, my daughter always tells me, you know, that something really something good doesn't happen, so she says that you practice, so you know that's she's a gymnast, so you know so everybody knows it's just you practice. But you know, people are different than athletes, regular people. So athletes are the ones that they don't have to be inspired and motivated to train. It's they have strong desire to do that. So coaches, actually, they have to slow them down so they don't damage themselves. Because they're crazy. They want fast and they want power, and then that want is very strong. When it comes to people, the opposite, that they need to be inspired. They don't see that they can do it. So they need really mentors in life. They need inspiration. They need to see people that it's possible. So when people see us, you know, our life, then it's easier for them to imagine that it's possible. So it's important that we have older people that they are healthy, they look good, and they are strong, and they function in life very well. So that's what can be done, mm-hmm. what could be done. It has to be seen too. So it is not just the idea, but it's also, it exists. When I have men here, they come here and then they are 44 years old or 45, you know, 50. And when they see me, they see, wow, you know, I can be 63 and I can be that way if I, you know, do the right thing, if I practice. And, you know, why not? And then we practice daily something. So why not to practice actually that thing that has the power to make you better over time? So you don't practice something on a treadmill and doing something on the treadmill for 10 years and you actually not get better. Your practice is actually wasted. Because your practice is more entertainment and not practice that is kind of a training that has the power to make you better over time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do things anyway, so why not to do those things that actually can contribute to our better life?
Now, I've heard you say the more you run, speaking of the treadmill, the more you run, the weaker and the less flexible you become. Now, my daughter, she runs 20 minutes four times a week. Is that a problem?
Well, you know, the whole thing is that when you run more than 10 seconds, then conversion of the fast twitch muscle starts really being in the body. So you become less powerful than a sprinter. So you become also less flexible than a sprinter. Uh-huh. And you will have less muscle than a sprinter, and you will be slower than a sprinter. So tell your daughter to go to the stadium and do sprints. And when she does sprints, she will achieve this body that will be just this beautiful sprinter's body, right? And so when you imagine the stadium, the Olympic stadium, and you see sprinters, when they come to the 100-meter run, they are so, you know, fresh and so agile and so quick. And then when they go into these blocks and they prepare themselves, they are just racing horses. They're beautiful, right? The beautiful people there, very powerful. So why not to learn from these people and not from marathon runners, right? So it's for me is a normal thing that I'm attracted to the most powerful, to the best, and not, you know, the other side.
Okay, so it's really about, you know, the goal. Like, if you want more power, and which is what I'm looking for, strength. I feel like I've been getting weaker and weaker, and you know, my body weight's the same, and I realized I've lost all this muscle and haven't. You
right.
Know.
So, you know, when you compare sprinters to 100-meter runners and to marathon runners, the sprinters are about, you know, Usain Bolt is about 205 pounds, and marathon runners usually 120 pounds. So the longer you run, the more inflammation in the body, the more muscle burn. And so the body becomes also very challenged by the inflammatory system. So it's simply not good. It's a survival system. While, you know, sprinters run only 10 seconds and rest after 10 seconds, let's say 3 minutes. So within 1 hour, a sprinter maybe runs 20 times and every run is about 3-4 seconds. And that creates the most powerful body on the planet.
Wow.
And so not much work, right? And a lot of rest. So there is no inflammation in the body system of a sprinter. It's just very little.
Interesting.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. So Nick, and the sprinter is also, you know, has a lot of muscle, builds up, so the muscle grows, it's not wasted. So the organs are not challenged, organs are actually recovering the system. And the sprinters are very happy, they are cheerful, they joke all the time and so on, because they have 3 minutes rest. And marathon runners, they don't look happy. They come to the stadium, they're not happy, right? They are exhausted, they are tired. You know, weightlifters are never exhausted, never tired. Sprinters are not. So you cannot imagine a pole vaulter tired. But look how beautiful pole vaulters are. You know, they're just beautiful physique and extremely capable of doing any task in life, yes?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
So, why not learn from these people?
Is there anything
sprinters.
Else? Yeah, I'm like, okay, we've covered a lot of ground. I'm just wondering if there's any story or anything else you'd like to tell my listeners before we wrap up.
Well, a story. Well, you know, it's always difficult when we know that we fail and we have a plan. And it's still ability to apply the plan is a challenge. So I coached this class in San Francisco, and then I had this a woman who was a nurse, and she told me that she cannot find time for her exercise to do the routine because she doesn't have time. So I asked her to tell me her day routine, and then so she told me, and then as she told me, I couldn't find any minute of of the time or 20
oh,
minutes
no.
that you can actually do the program, right? So. But when I was driving home, I thought that something is wrong here, and I felt that something is not right, and it's like it's not normal in life. So something has to be there that it can reverse the thinking process. So I drove home, and I went to my meditation room, and I wrote a poem about, you know, whether we can do something or cannot when we are actually stuck with, you know, something, and then we imagine that we don't have time or we cannot do something. And the poem, I told her the poem, Who Cannot? So I will read this poem
now.
Every night when I wake up, I walk to the kitchen, and every morning there is still food on my face. How can I stop myself? His coach thought for a moment and then told him, think about all those people who stopped themselves from owning and killing and having fun because they finally saw how others suffered. Without them, we would still have slaves, the Holocaust, and a war just for men. Becoming a man like that is your only chance, because there is no one else to force you. Don't you expect too much from me? Do you really believe I can be a man like that? Who cannot? So I went back a week after and I read this poem to the class. Mm-hmm. And I ask people about what they felt and what they saw and so on. And then people started talking about their ability actually to do certain things and how they would, that poem would change their decisions. And at the end, the same woman said, I will never tell my children I cannot anymore. And so we waited and she said, you know, I always say I cannot, I cannot do it, this, I cannot do it. But, you know, I realized that when I actually do it, I watch TV and I read books. And at the same time, I'm kind of irritated. And that is why I say it, but it's really wrong. I have to, you know, rephrase those things in a different way. And that was a kind of a beautiful thing that the poem was able actually to help a mother to see herself from a different perspective and from the perspective actually that she can do certain things. Right.
Yeah, and so, you have some books that are like that for the Happy Body program, inspirational poems and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, we have actually a book of we call it "I Got This," so the art of getting great. And this book has a lot of lectures, inspiration, the inspirational stories and poems. But also, I've written 3 books of mastering choices. And in these 3 books, there are dialogues, and that dialogues between fatalist and the master. And there are dialogues inside, and then they teach people how to listen to their own dialogue inside. And I started being aware of this about 4 years ago when my clients started talking back to me with different voices. And so I started really recognizing when the master is talking, like positive voice and negative voice. And I started really writing these dialogues. And I also realized that the dialogue, sometimes to different situation, there is a different dialogue. So if you are very weak in the controlling the food, so the fatalist will be very strong, but the master will be very weak. But when it comes to exercise, your master can be very strong, but the exercise weak, or reverse. So I've written 3 books, and then when people need really help with the food choices, then they read that book.
Oh,
and then,
where can they get those books? Where can my listeners get these books?
They're all on Amazon, okay. So they can get it over there.
Great.
But what I want to add is that the books, these books have also practice. At the end of the book, you write your own dialogues, and you also learn how to outsmart the fatalist. So you become the master 51% of the choices and not 49%. And if you do, then over time, you actually will get better because the master decides 51% and not 49%. So eventually, you know, we hope that you become 60% of the master instead of, you know, the other way.
Keep going up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Keep getting better and, you know, work on it. So your life is a project. Your life is a pursuit, and your life is something that you improve it and you know, make it better. And if you are not the world champion, if you're a world champion, then you are there. So you don't have to work for that anymore. But, you know, in a way, you know, as I said before, to be the world champion is the way that you know that you reach your top of the mountain, but at the same time, from the top of the mountain is only one direction. But, you know, if you are at the bottom of the mountain, then there is direction up and a lot of better, right?
So, right.
That's why, you know, somehow, you know, like I envy people that they can get actually better.
Well, once you get to the top of the mountain, you have to learn how to fly. Jersey, there's still more for
you
to do.
Exactly. How to fly, yeah. That would be nice to fly, right?
Yeah, a little more meditation but, time, you know, you'll get there.
Yeah, we watch, you know, a lot of our daughter, Iron Man, you know, 1 and 2 and 3, and she loves this, you know, Avengers and Marvel's movies. So I was with her all the time. Well, it would be wonderful to fly, but, you know, we would need a machine for that. But when it comes to our life, we are really, when we are with ourselves, we are naked. And then, you know, we live our life and we put the clothes and we sleep. And it would be nice to have less stress and sleep, you know, 8 hours. And when, you know, we wake up it's not difficult to go back to sleep. So I have a lot of people that suffer from, you know, insomnia. They don't sleep, and then the brain rolls, and the body is not good. So we created this happy body to help people to, you know, to recreate this, you know, happiness for themselves, living this youthful and happy life.
Nice, nice. So how can people get a hold of you or learn more?
Well, the best way is just to start, you know, to buy the Happy Body book from Amazon, read it, and then there is our webpage that I invite people to explore. There's a lot of blogs, and then there is also a possibility to become a mentor. We coach people to coach others, so that's opportunity for people not to learn how to have that happy system, but as well how to help others to get it. So that's also the opportunity, the career opportunity, and doing something meaningful, something good that happens because of it. A lot of people just want to find meaning in life, do something that is useful, do something that is positive and good and over time. So that's the opportunity as well.
Yeah, great. So yeah, there's the Happy Body, thehappybody.com, and they can find out about that. You have a Facebook page too, so they can join the, and you've got, you know, like you say, the mentor program, and then there's a opportunity to join the community as well. So great. Well, thank you so much, Jersey.
Oh, thank you. It was really a pleasure talking to you.
Great. If you've enjoyed this podcast, take a moment to give it 5 stars and write me a review. If you're feeling stuck and would like to have a session with me, visit my website at changeanythingnow.com to find out more. I teach how to change the subconscious in a weekend workshop. There's one coming up soon. Visit changeanythingnow.com. And if you mention this podcast, I'll give you a discount, at least $200. How does it get better than that? Positive Change with Dorina. Program credits. Music is Cheery Monday by Kevin McLeod. Incompetech.com. License under the Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. The voice intro was by Dylan McCloskey. You can find him on Fiverr.com. The podcast, copyright 2017, Dorina Road, all rights reserved.